Здравствуйте. Позвольте представиться. Меня зовут Дамьян. Я француз. But that's all what I know in Russian. Today, we are going to talk about creating a virtual machine manager in a virtual machine manager service template. And we will see how we can create that in 1 hour. Before we actually do anything, I want to start with remembering what is a service template. The purpose of creating a service template with Virtual Machine Manager in System Center is to create a model of the applications that will run in your environment. It will deploy virtual machines, and those virtual machines can be made of multiple tiers. It could be a front-end, as you can see on the screen. It can be an application tier, a middle tier, or it can be a database. And it can be a combination of them. Every tier is created with the same principles. There is a hardware profile, which defines the hardware architecture of the virtual machine. There is an operating system, and this operating system profile will define how the operating system is configured. And on top of it, we deploy an application, because creating a private cloud and managing it with Virtual Machine Manager is making sense only when we are deploying applications on top of it. Those applications can be of different type. It can be a web application, over here. That web application can be made of a web deploy package, and we will see how we do a web deploy package. It can be made of an appv server file, and we will see how we create those appv for server. Or it can be made of a DAC pack, and we will see how we create those for SQL database. Finally, you can also have your own custom configuration files for your own custom applications. The service template, when you create it, will be stored in the Virtual Machine Manager library. The main question I hear when I start talking about service template is, why do we want to create service templates instead of deploying virtual machines? Well, it allows you to manage an application as a single entity. So you're managing a SharePoint farm, and you're not managing the SharePoint frontend or in the SharePoint database. If you take a more complex application, well, you're managing the application on its own and not every single component. One of the value that the service model brings is the ability to scale out, meaning adding resources when you need those resources. And because we have what we call the composability of operating system and applications, it reduces the number of operating system images you have to maintain. So you can have a Windows Server 2012 Windows Server 2008 R2 image, and you can then add the application you want at deployment time. And finally, you can service those applications. Servicing an application is about updating the application as it runs while keeping the application up to date. It is, to give you a similarity, it is what we do with Windows Azure. I'll come back in a minute to that. As yesterday night, I have 20 slides, but I think it's much more fun to do it in live. No? So you'll have the slides, they will come to you. I don't know how, but you will have the slides, don't worry. But we are going to create service templates. Let's make sure I have things running. Yep. Yes. Yes. Okay, we should be good. So, I'm in Virtual Machine Manager, VMM. And the first thing we will do is create a new service template. So when we create a service template, we need to give it a name. Give a release number. This one would be 0.1. And then you define the architecture of your application. I went through that very quickly yesterday evening. You can create something very empty, or you can say that your application will be made of one single tier or made of multiple tiers. Let's go for a two-tier application template. When we do that, we create a Canva, which means an empty solution, and you will deploy on those environment, each machine, one of the virtual machine template that we have in our library. So I could have a Linux VM on one of the tiers, and a Windows and SQL virtual machine on another tier. Let's go for SQL and Windows for the first tier. And that tier, I'm going to rename it to database tier. So in the description, I'm going to say computer to run SQL. Okay? Then on the second tier, well, it's a front end, so I will take my small web virtual machine and put it to the first, to the second tier. I'm going to rename it as a web front end. And again, the description will be a web server. Okay. So we have done the basic stuff. Let me go back in time. So we go back in time like in movies. Roll back. We save that one somewhere. And the first question is, how do I create that? So for that, it's very simple. You create a standard virtual machine. It's a Windows Server 2012 running virtual machine. And on that virtual machine, I have copied the SQL media. Let me put it like that so you can see. So I've made a copy of the SQL installation on that disk. And from here, when you run the setup of SQL, when you go to the setup part, you go to the advanced options. It's very important. You go to the advanced options, and you select the image preparation of a standalone instance of SQL. That will actually install SQL without really deploying the database and everything. It will create what I would call a sysprepped version of a SQL instance. And it basically goes through the installation process. You define an instance name, and you define where you want to put the files and everything. Except it will not run the executable on that machine. So the question is this option available only in SQL 2012? To my knowledge, it was also available in 2008 R2. If anyone can confirm? Confirm? Yeah. So we go through it. And you see, I already have an instance done. I've done it before. So we have an instance already prepared called sysprep SQL. At the end of the installation of SQL, let's pretend we've gone through the setup. Well, you do the famous sysprep. You need to do generalize and out-of-bot experience. That will create the image and shut it down. You will have a VHD file, and then you import the VHD file that we have just created with that sysprepped image into the virtual machine manager library. So in my case, I've created a folder into the VMM library, VHD, and I have a VHD with my Windows Server 2008 R2, SQL 2008 R2, and I have another one with my, where is it? Here it is, Windows Server 2012 with SQL 2012 VHDX. Going back to my service template. So I'm using that VHDX to deploy my VM. Where's my demo suite? Here it is. So now we need to go to my database tier. I need to go to the properties of it. Well, you will define the hardware of that virtual machine. Well, it runs on a Hyper-V. For those who weren't here yesterday, it runs on the NAND server, ESX, and stuff like that as well. Processor, RAM, that's standard stuff. I'll come to the network later on. Then we configure the OS. We can define the server name. So for the server name, which is the computer name, you could use my computer. But that is not very generic, because every time you deploy that template, it will get the My Computer as the computer name. So what you want to do is to give variables. You have two ways of doing variables. The first one is to say server dash dash. And when you put, when you put this symbol, it will actually create a digit. And we will increment the digit as we deploy a new machine with that name. The name is checked from the VMM database and Active Directory. So if we have deployed server 01 through VMM, fine. But if you have created server 02 manually in Active Directory, well, it will skip server 02 and go to server 03.
For example, I have a name policy in my company that must include name of Active Directory site. Could I make a rule or some parsing option to input this name of the site?
So it's going to be possible, not straightforward. Let me explain that. In the computer name, you can have a variable, computer. If you type a name or any entry with between those two arrobas, that is created as a variable into VMM. So when we deploy that machine, you as a human being, when you request that, you have to give the value of that variable. Now, VMM talks with PowerShell. So you can get the Active Directory site with PowerShell and then put it into the variable, but then you would have to create manually with PowerShell script the value of that variable. So yes, but not automatically.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What about the star?
You could put a star. No, you don't. If you put a star, let's look. You remove the star, it says server, you put a star, it doesn't like it, because it could be anything.
Yeah, but it was available in previous VMM versions.
It was if you put that. It is still. So in that case, when you put a star, it will generate or take the Windows randomly generated name. So you will end up with something like win dash, I think it's 4 or 5 hexadecimal numbers. But you cannot prefix it with something known. Admin password, product key, time zone, standard stuff, roles. Then you have all the Windows roles and features. The Windows role and feature we expose here are changing based on the version of the operating system. So at the beginning, you select the version of the operating system of that image. Depending on what you select here, let's go to Windows 2008, for example. The roles will not be available. You need a version 2008 R2 to get that approach. If you go to 2008 R2, where is 2008 R2? Here it is. You get the roles. So it dynamically adjusts depending on which version of Windows you're deploying. Be careful on that one. It really checks for that information. So if you're taking a template that is for 2008 R2 and you try to apply 2012 as an operating system, the deployment will fail. Roles, features, same thing. Join to a domain, role group, that's easy. answer file. You can input in that OS configuration an answer file. If you already have one and you don't want to redefine it, well, you can reuse your XML files. In my case, I'm using an XML file to use the French keyboard layout and to make sure that's the default layout of the keyboard when I deploy my virtual machines. Yes?
Is the option must be included or no?
You can remove.
VMM will install without answer file operating system, yes?
Yes. You can deploy without the answer file. But if you have an answer file you want to use, you can use it.
We currently use VMM 2008. Mm-hmm. So, and there are no actually such operating system types as 2012 and Windows 8. But we apply such, we use such VMs actually, and they work, but
answer file, you mean?
As you said previously, it will not create such a template if the operating system type is does not match.
Yes. So the question is, or it's more a comment.
But they work.
It well, the comment is it works with previous version. Uh-huh. Yes, it does. It means what I want to say is it's easier. Because you just select the roles and features. You don't have to open the Windows System Image Manager to create your answer file.
The question was about the coincidence with, between the ISO file, which you use to install VM, and these operating system type, which you choose here during the VM creation. So they should match or...
Oh, okay. The question is, between the ISO image, or the VHD image, and the version of the operating system that I'm selecting, do they have to match? They definitely have to match.
But if they do not?
If they do not, the sysprep will, well, the deployment will continue, but you will have no roles and no features deployed.
Yeah, but I will have a working...
You have a Windows by default.
But shall we have any problems with this VM?
No, it will not be configured as you expect. Means, coming to your question, it means that if in the roles you say, I want Active Directory Domain Services, and you deploy that virtual machine and you expect to have a domain controller at the end, it will not be a domain controller. It will be just a standard machine. So you lose the personalization of the VM.
So it will work only like a simple computer.
It will work like a simple computer.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
But you will see why it's important to have that after the next step.
XML file will override the settings.
Will the XML file override the settings? Well, when selecting the, I'm going to show you the answer. So I'm selecting the XML file in the library. So you have the options to say yes or no.
Thank you.
Let's go to the next step. Application configuration. So I will do that in multiple steps because it is when you deploy the application on top of the operating system. This is where the complexity is, I would say, because deploying an OS itself is not very complex. When you get to the operating to the applications, then it comes a bit more tricky. There are, I would say, five types of applications you can deploy here. Web application, virtual app, and SQL data tier. When you are going to try that at home, I strongly recommend that you do one step after the others. I recommend that you don't try everything at the same time because it will fail. The first thing I would recommend you to do is to start with skipping the application part, do nothing here, and just try the SQL deployment. So you take the image that we have created with SQL being sysprepped, and on that image, you create a new SQL Server deployment. So we give a name to it, so SQL Suite. Then you have to be careful. There are two fields to answer, and they are mandatory. There is the instance name, and the instance name is the name of the instance after the deployment of SQL. This is the targeted name you want to have. So I can call it Suite, for example. The instance ID has to be the name of the instance that you have sysprepped. So when you have created the image, you remember the name that I have? Bravo! Gift!
Thank you.
It's a USB stick. So, sysprep SQL. To give you the truth, I have my cheat sheet for that. I always mess them up. Product key. No, you're not going to see my product key. Then you select what we call the run as account. The run as account is an account that is run, or it's an object in VMM that matches an Active Directory account. But you don't have to know the password. VMM will know it, but you, as when you deploy, you don't have to retype the password every time. So for that, I'm going to use the SQL admin run as account. You can increase the timeout in a lab environment if you're running on low performance hardware. For SQL, it's a good idea to increase that. I usually put it 9,000 seconds. Question.
Should this run as account be included in local group on our server, future server?
If you're using a local account, yes, it has to be into the local SAM database, security account manager.
No. I mean, this is an Active Directory account. Do I must include it locally in?
No. Well, no, you don't have to, but it will use the privileges it has from Active Directory. To do the installation of SQL, you have to have certain permissions on the operating system. Well, even though it's already sysprepped, you have lower privileges, but you need some privileges. So that account need to be in the right local groups to have the right permissions.
Oh, so you mean here in this option, we choose account which will be included in local groups.
You have to include it in local groups
manually.
Before. Yes.
Thank you.
Once you've done that, you have to create or configure the database itself. So we've created the instance. Now we need to define more parameters of the database. First of all, where are the medias? So where were the medias? Anyone remember where were the medias? Where was the distro of? SQL media, yay! I just don't want to have noise. Then you select the SQL admins. So the account you, when you install SQL, you define the SQL admins, you define it here. You can specify the security method for SQL. So if you're using SQL mode instead of Windows authentication, you can use it. And for the SSA password, you use a run as account. In that case, it doesn't have to be an Active Directory account. Just a username and password is enough. It will gather the password from that run as account and put it as the SSA password. Don't forget to use one of the protocols in case you want to do it. And you can have a configuration file. If you have one, you can reuse that. But in my case, I don't have any. Last but not least, it is required to define the run as account, the service account for all the SQL services. So again, we define which account we use those SQL services. I'm just always going to use the same one. SQL Server Service Account. My recommendation when you start creating a service template is to stop here. Create a first virtual machine with just SQL being deployed, but nothing configured on top of it. That's my recommendation. And if you don't feel like having two VMs because you don't have the resources, you can say, I don't want to deploy one of the tiers, and you can delete it. You can say, OK, I started with two, but I really want only one, so I'm good with one. When you save, it validates the information. And before you deploy it, make sure you look at the status that is over here. I have a little yellow thing, which means I've forgotten to do something. It's over there. My virtual machine is not connected to any network. And you can see it. The network interface of that virtual machine is not connected to anything. It comes to the network configuration we have in VMM. And you will see it later today. I think you're covering the virtual networks in your session. So Mihail is going to talk about it after that. What you do is you go to the network, add a VM network, and connect it to that VM network. So it's going to my virtual network. There we are. Let's save and validate. The layout is not very good, but it's like that. Anyway, we're good. Now we can configure the deployment. When you configure the deployment of that VM, you give a name. Oops, sorry for that. And you define where you want to deploy it. So you can either deploy it to your cloud that is in VMM, or you can be specific into the host where you want to deploy that virtual machine. I mean, sorry, that service template. Let's go to a cloud. I have one, sweet. Okay. Question? So we have our tier. And it looks okay, except I have a warning. Well, when you do the deployment, it always at the beginning will appear with a warning. Don't worry. Make sure you go to refresh the preview so that it reevaluates the entire service template and the definition of the hardware. Let's refresh the preview. The warning has disappeared. When you deploy it, when you select the VM, look on the top, you have properties and ratings that will evolve. If you select the VM, it will give you the rating for the different hosts that you have in your environment, on your network. So my host has 2.5 stars. Not too bad. It takes the assessment of multiple things. One of them is the hypervisor on which it will run. One of them is what we call the placement tags. So let's cancel that. I'm going to show you the placement tags. When you create your service template, you can manage custom properties. And with the custom properties, when you deploy it, where is it? It's in the cloud properties. When you create the properties of a cloud, you have the placement tags, which are Fabric. Placement tools. So when you deploy on a host, you can say that the custom property that I have for my template, for my tier, must match the same value on the host. Or the virtual machine should not match the host. That will allow you, when you create those tiers, to ensure that the two tiers of the same service will not be on the same physical machine. And VMM will assess those elements to do the ratings when you are deploying the service template on your infrastructure. Those custom properties, you can have as many as you want. My recommendation is to keep 1 or 2. I think that 10 is way too much, but 1 or 2 is good enough. It will allow you to be very precise in the deployment phase. No questions? So, I'm not going to deploy that virtual machine per se, because it takes about 20 minutes, and I don't want to waste 20 minutes waiting for my laptop to deploy the disk. I have already deployed one. And we're going to connect to it. That's the initial one. Yeah, that's the initial one. So on that one, There it is. Services. I have the basic SQL services. So when you deploy the first instance with that SQL server being presented, you have your server deployed. And you can verify that it's good, and you can look at the logs and everything. So the next step on that service template is to add an application on the tier. So I'm going to an existing tier that I've done a minute ago, which is using Blog Engine. Let's go back to the Twist suite, sorry. So I'm adding my app. And as the application, I want to add a data tier application. So the DAG pack. So when you run SQL, you have a database in place. You can go to the properties of the database and extract it and create what we call a DAG pack, which is a schema of the database. So you create the DAG pack, you put it in the library, and same thing, you have multiple options for the deployment. The runner's account. And on that database, you can run different scripts. So if you already have a script in place, you can run it. So for example, I am going to do a post install SQL script, post install on a SQL suite using the SQL authentication. And I have one script that is importing SQL data. So I'm going to use that SQL file into my deployment. You can give different parameters if you want and specify the SQL admin runner's account. And you can have multiple scripts. So if you have multiple scripts to install, you can add them and have a specific deployment order. The deployment order is new with SQL 2012 SP1. It wasn't that before. Okay. Application compatibility, important thing as well. You need to define which operating system it is compatible with. Good. So we have a SQL part that's covered. There is another part that is interesting in this templating of the application, is the virtual applications. The virtual applications, they run in their own environment on the operating system. So how you create an appv for server, appv package for server? Well, my recommendation is to create a template called the sequencer, because you will use it for multiple applications. And you need to launch the appv, server appv sequencer. It's kind of a spy. It's a tool that will analyze what are the changes that are made on this operating system by the application that we are deploying. So I'm going to create a new virtual package. You prepare the server. Server is ready. And I'm going to perform either an application that is installed. Let's zoom so you can have a view of it. You can either use a standard installer for the application. So if you have an MSI, you can run it and deploy it. Or you can perform a custom app installation. So in my case, I'm going to perform a custom installation, give a name, front-end, a web front-end. And it's going to put everything that are every files that are brought by this application into the queue drive. So it actually brings the queue drive, which is this kind of a local database that has those files of the application virtualized. Next. Then I'm going to do the installation itself. So for that installation, I'm going to use, I'm going to take a standard application that is a blog engine. It's a demo application you can find freely on the internet. But the sequencer has started. So now I can do my installation and an IIS. I can go to the website and deploy an application that is existing in my network. So I'm going to the MS deploy. There it is. So that MS deploy is being given by the developer of the app. I'm importing it. And every single file, every single configuration changes that I'm doing will be logged on this queue directory. So while it's performing it, let's have a look at the queue file. We get the web front end, the systems, and as we finish, it will populate the app subsystem settings. We're done. I'm finished installing. Next. So it's going to take some time to collect all the data and the changes. So it's going to take some time to do that, but it's collecting those files and create them into the .appv file. For the sake of time, I'm going to my environment. And then here in the service template, you can browse to the appv file that we have created. So the blog engine appv version 1. Version 2. And when we've deployed it, well, for that appv file, for that web blog engine, for that blog engine, I have to modify a web.config file, which points to the SQL database, where the blog logs, where the blog post will be stored. Well, it doesn't matter that I have changed some of those settings in an ini file. The application virtualizer will look at the changes I've made in the web.config file and allow me to change them into the deployment of the appv file. So in my case, instead of using sequencer.dir1, I can say I want to use SQL Server. What is that?
PowerShell, what?
I don't know.
Variable.
Yep. Oops, sorry. It is a variable from the service template.
For a service template or from our PowerShell?
No.
Not from PowerShell. It's a virtual machine manager variable. So when we will deploy that template, it will ask me for the value of this variable. And coming back to it, clicking OK, I'm done with that template for that tier, the database tier, I'm done with it. Come on. But if I have another tier. Windows and SQL, next. Yep, okay, I can use for the tier that I have here, which will be my database server, for example, in the name of the machine, I can also use a SQL server. So when I will deploy that service, which means the front end and the database, I will not only have the SQL server that has the name of the variable, but the configuration file from the front end will have the same value. So when I deploy, It doesn't matter which name I give, they will be configured. And you can use that for the admin password. You could use it for the SQL password. Where was the SQL password? Over here. I don't remember where it was, server's configuration. Or the product key, or whatever. Database, virtual applications. Then when we are ready with it, we deploy. It will be deployed with the right settings and configurations. Now in the last 6 minutes, when we create the front end, we can add a load balancer. So again, Mikhail will explain to you how you create the load balancer, I think. So I'm just going to move them below. What? Now, if I'm putting it in the right order, that would be better. And by doing that, I've just enabled the scale out of my front end, which means I can add multiple tiers to that environment. And if I need to add a second machine, it will just create a clone of that front end, and the clone will be connected to the the NLB cluster that we have just configured. Okay. One last thing that is pure beauty when you're doing a service template. I always keep the best for the end. I have prepared a web application that is very simple. It's a simple web application that has not an ABV file, not a SQL database, but a web application through the EMS deploy template. And that application is doing, when I have the hand, come on. Is doing that. It's an application I've developed, and I've pre-built the new version of this application. I've done it in Visual Studio. I took my Visual Studio. I've been a good guy. And I've done a big change in the app. Come on, Visual Studio, always slow. Yes, prepare the solution. So I've created a very updated app that is specific for this event. Updated version for Suite. So we have that. I've generated the zip file, uploaded the zip file into my library, and what I'm going to do is now copy my template. I'm going to edit it. It's going to be version 1.0 on the bottom left over here. And in my app, my tier, I'm going to change the application. So instead of using version 1.3, I'm going to select version 1.4 of the application. So we're good. I'm saving and validating. And now what I will do is into the service deployed on this environment. There it is. There it is, my web app. I'm going to take the service, apply a new template, go to version 1, check, it's checking for the changes. I'm going to apply the update in the VM in place, but I could update the settings of the VM by replacing the VM. Update it immediately. And as we start speaking, it is doing a job in the background to replace the application on my existing virtual machines. It's taking 5-6 minutes to do that. We can refresh. At that time, it's going to probably not do the job because it's updating this environment. But without anything else, any further job from my part, I'm going to use the service template to have a new application deployed. That works with this web application. It works with an AppV application, AppV for server. It works for the SQL database. It works for any service template as long as you are not changing the number of tiers. So that's the only limit. You cannot go from one tier environment to a two tier or a three tier. You have to remain to the same number of tiers. Well, I just need to do some logistics before we conclude. Two things, it's possible.